Join me in John 16, Gospel of John 16. The Lejeunes asked if I would thank the church for your prayers. Their son is a pastor at White Oak, been struggling with COVID, and he's doing very well now, and appreciate your prayers for him. Got a few people that are doing contact tracing today, and they're being quarantined or not at church or something, so they're being careful. I understand that, so hopefully they're listening online. If you're not listening online, we'll start calling your name next week. You'll make people aware that you're not paying attention. But I think people are listening online. That's a great avenue. It's not the best, but it is a great avenue. Sure better than having nothing. We've got a lot of good comments about that. Of course, we did it before COVID, but now they're doing Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. So thank you, Brother Fulfer, for stopping by and sharing that. What an amazing ministry, extensive ministry. He spent his life there. How many years have you actually been serving in the Philippines?
Since 84.
So somebody calculate that real quickly. 37 years, is that right? 37 years. God bless you. Thank you and your wife for your faithful service there. John 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oddly, this is just prior to the crucifixion of our Savior. And yet he's talking about peace. Peace in the midst of tribulation. Peace in the midst of trial. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we have peace right away. There's just something about it that's a reality. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And whenever a person gets saved, it's like a burden goes off your back, and there is a peace in your heart that all is well. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I have purpose in my life. What a difference it makes to have that peace in your heart. And as a Christian, as we learn to yield and surrender to God, we can enjoy the peace of God, not just peace with God, but the peace of God that passes all understanding, right, that the world would not understand. But we live in a day where there's not a lot of peace. And if you go back through the history of the world, any recorded history, there are rarely times where there's not some war or conflict going on in the world. And it's been true since, you can go back well before the time of Christ. So if we think about what's happening in the world, there is tribulation, there are problems and wars and so on. But the idea behind this particular passage is that for a believer, we may face turmoil, yet we can have peace even in the midst of turmoil. There's a, read this illustration before, I read again this morning, that there was an artist that decided he wanted to give recognition to someone, an award to someone, a financial award, for the person that could paint the greatest picture portraying peace. And so different people painted different pictures, and you can imagine one of them had a beautiful water scene, that, like a mill pond, just still as could be, and sheep grazing along the side, and just the perfect epitome of peace. But the last picture that was revealed was one of a huge waterfall thrashing down to the water below, and along the side of a cliff, a branch stuck out. And in that branch was the nest of a bird, and that bird sitting just contented in that nest. And it gave the perfect picture of peace, because that greatest peace could be in the midst of turmoil and a storm. And so we can find peace in the storm. Let's look at that verse one more time and think about it in this context. So these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That peace he's talking about is an inward peace. It's not detente. It's not a peace covenant with other nations. It's not the lack of war. It's not just what happens out in the world, but it is a peace in the heart of an individual. And it can happen in the midst of tribulation. He said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. And he says, I have overcome the world. So it gives the idea that there is a battle. If you overcome something, then there's some kind of fight. There's some kind of battle. And he said, I have overcome that. So side by side, we have peace by the promises of God, and yet there's turmoil all around.
Right.
Now, in the context of where we are in the course of the world and in the course of our country and the course of our nation, there's a lot of turmoil out in the world. Really, there's a lot of turmoil. And knowing prophecy, we realize that now we see how someone could implement, you can't buy or sell without certain stipulations. If you don't have a vaccine card showing that you're vaccinated, you can't buy or sell. Now, that's not necessarily the mark of the beast, and it's paving the way where you could see worldwide what could happen. We see our southern border being invaded. We see the problems with the issues in Afghanistan. Maybe the world has never been less safe than it is here today. But in the midst of all of that, should we fret as Christians? Should we be fearful in the midst of a COVID crisis? Are we fretting because of that? Yet in the world, we can have peace because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about those things because we put it in the hands of God. So there can be an inward peace. There are two conditions that belong to two different spheres. He said the Christian life is like a double root that brings forth two different realms. He said, in me and in the world, two separate things. The characteristic of the two lives are absolutely the opposite, what we have in us and what we see in the world. But he promises peace through conflict, through struggle, and through difficulty. So we might be in the center of great conflict, and yet in our world, great peace. Even think about being in church and having a church preaching the Word of God in the midst of all that's happening around us. It's a place of peace, of security. There's something about it. You come to church, you feel secure. It's what God has provided. But our relationship with Him, though the world around us and people around us may be disturbed, we can have peace in our own heart.
Right.
Said, in me is peace. It is the innermost part of life. In the world, tribulation. And that's a surface, but it's not inward. On the surface, there's tribulation. So peace depends upon certain conditions. And here are two conditions that I think are very, very clear in this passage. First of all, peace is in Him. It's in Christ. Several times in Scripture says we are in Christ or Christ is in us. When you're saved, He lives within you.
Right.
If you don't have the Son of God in your life, then you're not saved. You have to have Him in your heart and life. And there is this relationship by means of the Holy Spirit that He is in us and we are in Him. Ephesians 2:14 says, He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. So dwelling in Christ is the duty of every Christian. Having that relationship, realizing our source in Him. In the world, no peace, but in Him, there's peace because there is that relationship. It says, as many of have Him are the sons of God. We have to have Him in our heart and life and then dwell upon Him. We might identify it as the atmosphere or attitude of being in Him is how we have peace. It means we are rooted in the right soil. We are trusting in Him, that all of our innermost feelings are rooted in who He is and that relationship with Him. We realize that we are just a branch on the vine. There is that relationship with Him. We are like residents in a house. We belong to Him. We are Him by simple faith. As a Christian, there is something that happens when you get saved that brings peace. And as you live for the Lord, they're just not the same worries that other people have. I remember having a sense of that one day. And I've shared this testimony a couple of times. We were picking up pews at the time. This building was not here. We met in the building across the street, and we found a place in White Plains, New York that had pews. So we could go down Route 8, and back then, before it was redone, it was even more a little treacherous. Some of you may remember that. But it was either in the spring or the winter, but it was a little bit icy. But we got down there, we got all the pews loaded up, and this man had just gotten saved, and he's driving the truck. And we're going along Naugatuck Valley like this, and he's just happy as a lark. There's just the joy and peace in his heart. And he said, "You know, if this truck just went off the side, it doesn't bother me at all." It bothered me, but he was at perfect peace. It was because God was doing something in his heart and life that brought peace. You know, when you come out of addiction, you come out of alcohol and drugs, and you get in your right mind, there's a peace that passes understanding. Something changes. When you get right with God, something changes. There is a peace in the heart. It is in Him. The relationship's not in the circumstances. It's not what happens in the world. You might be in a perfect situation around the world. You know, your family that's happy, your wife's cared for, your job is secure, the Red Sox are winning. I mean, everything's perfect. But if you don't have peace in your heart, you don't get peace from all the circumstances around you. That peace is found in Him, in that relationship with Him. So the trust that rests all upon Him, by that love finds all in Him. Obedience finds all in Him. It is that relationship we have. Only Christ can give us that rest. Everything else brings distraction. Everything else brings trouble in our life. Only one thing gives peace, and that is being surrounded by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now people say, "Well, I can worship God at home." But if you're in love with the Lord, you want to be with God's people. The church is essential. Surround yourself with Christian music. Surround yourself with the Word of God, and daily learn to read it and study it. And the more you're surrounded by the things of God and the person of God, the more that peace prevails in your heart and life. He said, "The things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace." There are many references in the Bible that more or less a greeting. "Grace and peace be unto you." May you have grace, mercy, and peace. Over and over again, we see that. It was just a natural greeting because people want to have peace. People want to be still in their heart and not worried. But we have peace through His promises. There are many things that we could go through the list, but to give a few, He ascended up into heaven and He said, "I'm preparing a place for you." There's peace in your heart to know there is a prepared place for prepared people. Right. His coming again to receive us unto Himself brings peace. That I was in the hospital visiting someone this past week, and they've gone through a lot of things. I mean, it seems like they've had one complication after another. But I said to him, "You know, you may not have to worry much longer, because I think the rapture may happen before you get out of the hospital. You may not have to have another surgery." That there is a peace knowing that we have a place in heaven prepared for us. And that He's going to come and receive us again unto Himself. There is the presence of the Holy Spirit in His absence. He said, "I'll send you a comforter." And the Holy Spirit is our comforter to encourage and challenge us and convict us and draw us in a closer relationship with him. So he is indwelling us through the means of the Holy Spirit in our life. So if we believe all these things, we meditate upon all these things daily and keep our eyes upon him, he becomes very real to us every day. Amen. The ignoring of those things is where we get into trouble. We look at the world around us and see the problems, that's where we get into trouble. And you just wonder, how are you going to feed all these children that come into the orphanage? Well, you get troubled by that, or you can say, God's going to provide. What are you going to do with this illness? How are you going to deal with that? Well, you can get all worried about it, but you just put your trust in the Lord. You know, what are you going to do when you lose your job? They say, if you don't have a vaccine, you can't work here, and we're not going to let you work here, and you're not going to get it. What do? There's peace when your relationship is in him. You just keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your relationship right with him. So when we regard all the things of the world as just folly, just fluff, all those things are not what brings us peace. All of your labor does not secure your possessions. I mean, you can work hard and you can work overtime or two jobs and 7 days a week, but that money does not bring the security of just having that peace within him. Right. And all that you live to seek, it's all been abandoned. You know, you're in trouble. Just keep your eyes on him. Right. And all that you desire to obey, I'm just going to follow him, then God provides for you. So sooner or later, for every one of us, you're going to face some kind of opposition from the world. Some kind of trial. As a nation, we face unique things in this day like I've never seen in my lifetime. And so we fear what's going to happen. Are we worried about it? If you think about it, there's a lot of positive things going on. There are more people open to the gospel probably now than ever before. There were churches that were shuttered that people started coming here because their churches were closed. And that's happening all over the country. It's a time where people suddenly evaluate their life and say, I've been living for the wrong things. I need to put my priorities in a different order. Right. It's a time of reevaluating your life. There are things that happen from times of trouble and struggle that help us. There's going to be antagonism. And one of the things that is growing in our country is that anti-Christian attitude. Right. In certain places of the world, it's growing. Now, that shouldn't shock you, and it shouldn't worry you. I mean, it's in the time of Christ, they crucified him. This is just prior to the crucifixion. And he's saying, there's peace. We have peace. Don't worry about it. And there are going to be more and more people laugh, make fun of, sarcastic, whatever, about your faith in Christ. It's increasing. And very well could get worse and worse. There may be further persecution. We don't know what's going to happen. But when our faith is in him, there's peace. We don't have to worry about the world. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at the surface. Just keep your eyes on him. There's peace because of our relationship with him. The truth is, and I know others feel the same way, when this COVID thing came out, I mean, I was concerned. I'm concerned about it. You want to do the right thing and be careful if you can figure out what the right thing and being careful is. But to be honest, I haven't worried one bit about it. I've had it. My wife's had it. Several of you have had it. You know, it could have been worse. We had one member that came close to death through it. But our faith is in him. It doesn't matter what happens. What's happening at the border, what's happening in Afghanistan, what's happening in our government. I mean, it's concerning, sure. But our faith is in him. It doesn't change that. People are still lost and need the gospel, and our work goes on. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep living for the Lord. We shouldn't be overwhelmed by the circumstances around. We should be overwhelmed with the presence of God by keeping our eyes on him. Just trust in the Lord. And if you have a struggle with that, give up the evening news.
Amen.
There we go. Thank you. So there may be antagonism, but we ought not to be ashamed of the cross and salvation and being called a Christian. He said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. I don't know the nature of it. It may change, but there will be something that we call tribulation. But our peace, it's like a rainbow on the clouds, the ominous storm that has just passed. There is a promise of God that he'll protect us. He will be with us. So we have outward tribulation, but our confidence comes from the Lord's victory that he's already gained for us. So he said, back in our passage, be of good cheer. So it is a commandment given to Joshua. He said, be strong and of good courage. They're about to go into the land of promise. And he said, the captain of your soul, he's going to watch over you. We can trust in him. Be of good cheer. Be courageous. He said, I have overcome the world. Now that was prior to Calvary. And then he's crucified, but he had already declared that victory because he knew he would raise again from the dead. So our Lord's life was a true battle of evil and good, of Satan's influence and the world's influence. But he said, I have overcome the world. You might say, well, that's great. He overcame the world. But because he overcame the world, it means he can give us that same victory. If he did it, he has the power to give it or pass it on to us. The captain of our salvation has already fought the battle for us. When you go through the book of Revelation, it's really an amazing book. And it's hard to comprehend all the details. Although in our day, it's easier to understand some of it than people could have understood 50 or 100 years ago. But when we get to the end, we know how it ends. There's a new heaven and a new earth. He'll wipe away all the tears. And there will be a river of life flowing through that beautiful place. Amen. It's going to be just like Indiana. It's going to be it's going to be a beautiful place. And we'll cut down a stick and put a pole in the water and hope you don't catch anything. We'll lay down our worries and cares completely. We know how it ends. There is peace in the midst of the storm. Our Lord is a type or a picture of all victorious life. Turn with me quickly to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. I'd like to read more verses, but I'm going to read just a couple of verses this morning. These are familiar to most of you, I'm sure. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We just come to him in prayer. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The world conquers us when it draws us away from God. It makes us its slave. We're dominated by circumstances, dominated by issues of the world around us. The world coaxes us to trust in it, and it urges us to despair if we lose it. I mean, how many things come at you that are basically just to fear, create fear to people? And yet, It draws us into that world. It comes between us and God, and it is our hope to fill our desire through changes in the world around us. And it may take all of our energy, and it absorbs everything that lives within us so that we have no time or have no emotion left to serve the Lord and live for him. We're so caught up in the emotional upheaval, and it blinds our eyes to the unseen, to the eternal, and we don't see the hand of God and what God can do in our lives. When he conquered the world, he put his foot on the temptations of the world around us. And he crushed it down and it shook off the bonds. It coerces us of time and sense that we can put our trust in Him and not worry about all the other things around us. Through our weakness, we rest in Him, and that's how we are strong. He gives us the ability to fight. It is His omnipotent power by which we are successful. Jesus Christ is ours. We are victors through Him because He is more than just a pattern of warfare. He gives us the victory. He has already promised it to us. So as we dwell in Him, our strength is through the righteousness in that relationship with Him. It is a reliance on God and what He can do in our lives. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'm just going to read one verse. It says in verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Amen. Said, we don't know what to do. How do we deal with this? Jehoshaphat the king was fearful because he saw Moab and Ammon with great armies coming against him, and they were small compared to all the armies that were coming after them. But he prayed to God, and he said, Lord, give us this victory. We don't know what to do, but we know You do. The Bible says this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It really comes down to that sense of just trusting God and believing God. And when things don't go the way you want, sometimes that will happen. Keep your eyes on the Lord and trust in Him. Amen. And some of the greatest things that will happen in your life is when you didn't have the answer. And fortunately, you didn't get your way. Amen. But God, through His omnipotent hand, through His sovereign will, provided something better for you. Some of the most successful things that our church's ever done was not because anybody had a great idea. It wasn't because we had finances or money. It was simply because we trusted God. Amen. We just believed God. In the world, you'll have tribulation. And if you allow it, it can overwhelm you even as a Christian. But in Him, we have peace.
That's right.
And in the midst of the storm, in the midst of persecution or tribulation, we keep our eyes on Him. He provides all that we need. And I hope today for each one of us that are saved, you know that you're saved. Don't let the world, don't let the surface problems control you. Don't be anxious about all the things that are happening you can't control. Just trust in Him. Amen. He's provided for you now, hasn't He?
Right. Yes.
Think about, why would you worry about having enough food? Let me make it personal. How would you worry about having enough toilet paper when God has provided for you thus far? He's provided everything you need. Remember when the COVID first came out, you walked through the grocery store and people would, you know, walking around like you're contaminated or something. You know, God was still on the throne then. He's still on the throne now.
Amen.
And we entrust in Him. Just great peace. Great peace. Kyle Guyman, who's with the Lord today. And by the way, as a missionary coming here, he donated $1,000 to help build that building for the college. Just as a missionary. But he was trying to buy property, and where he was at in Uganda, it was a tribal community, and the chief threatened him. And Kyle Guyman looked at him and he said, you can't threaten me with heaven.
Amen.
He was at full peace, just trusting in the Lord. There is peace in the midst of the storm. Jesus saw the disciples, and they were fearful. Oh, we're going to die. The ship is going under. And He said, peace be still. He didn't just calm the storm. He calmed the hearts of the disciples. Remember, He's the master of the sea. He's the one that can calm the storm. Let's keep our faith in Him. Let's keep our eyes on Him. And if there's someone listening today, either here or online, and you've never been saved, you can't possibly know the peace of God. But there is a peace that comes by being saved that overwhelms your soul. And it gives you peace from the inside, not just the surface around, not just the perimeter, but deep within. Let's bow for prayer this morning.